Our next guest first joined the show back in 05 when USC won the national title. His publication is The Standard Setter. From this point forward until a new champion is crowned, I never leave home without it. Online, philsteele.com. On Twitter, it's at philsteele042. Phil, how are you and yours doing during these just wild times we're living in now?
You know, I'm actually doing pretty good, Steve. The magazine's done. It's radio season, so doing a lot of radio shows and having a lot of fun talking football. And for the record, I think we're playing football this fall. And do you really think somebody's going to be crazy enough to put as much information in the magazine as I am? You said number one for now. Who's going to pass that up?
I don't think anybody is, because I'm an information junkie. It's the information age. And like I said, I've been addicted for 16 years, but the good kind of addiction, Phil.
There you go. There you go. And how about Duck football recently, huh?
Yeah, folks here are pretty excited. You know, we're hopefully optimistic. Let's leave it at that. The Pac-12 North, Oregon State. I thought the hire of Jonathan Smith was outstanding. I mean, he took over a train wreck, and year two came within a first down conversion against Washington State of making a bowl game. New quarterback, the defense led by a stud in Hamika Rashid. What would be the reason for Beaver fans to be optimistic this season?
Just what you touched on, and in fact, you know, I was talking to Coach Smith, and I said, what was it like being on the sideline, and you're up 53-42 with 4:17 left against Washington State. You've got a bowl game in your grasp, and then it just all went away. And he was, he thanked me for reminding him about that. But Oregon State, I thought last year, I went over the team with Coach Smith the first year, and I'm like, well, they're going to struggle a little bit this year. And then last year I told him, I go, looks like you're about two touchdowns better than the previous year, but I frankly was surprised that Oregon State went on the road and knocked off teams like UCLA, California, and Arizona, notching three Pac-12 road wins. So I'm pretty optimistic. Now, the big thing for Oregon State this year, I feel, with the team, is naturally going to be the quarterback position, because last year Jake Luton was almost perfect. I mean, 28 touchdowns, three interceptions. That's tough to achieve. I'm happy at the running back position with Jamar Jefferson. I think Gebbie is going to step in and do a good job at the quarterback spot. And the rest of the team is solid. You look at them, especially on the defense, with Hamakar Rashid, Addison Gums at the up front. This is a very good defensive front seven. So I think Oregon State, let's get them over the hump, get them back to a bowl game this year.
In Pullman, we've got the changing of the guard. Coach Leach takes his act to the SEC. Nick Rolovich from Hawaii. He's got a really good rep. They had to replace another productive quarterback in Anthony Gordon, a solid back in Max Borgie. Jihad Woods is a tackling machine leading the defense. How do you see season one of the new regime playing out?
Well, I want to be careful when it comes to Nick Rolovich, because the last 2 years at Hawaii, they did a lot better than I expected. And, you know, now this year, he's stepping into a pretty tough situation, because he didn't even have spring practice with this team. In fact, when I was going over the team with Coach Rolovich, you know, I asked him about the quarterbacks. He's like, well, first of all, Phil, I haven't seen any of them throw yet. I'd like to have that option. And so it's I think first-year head coaches this year are stepping into a real tough situation, especially if they didn't have spring practices. But as I mentioned 2 years ago when I went over the Hawaii roster with them, I did not expect a bowl game. I was thinking they were going to be more like a 3 or 4 win season, and they ended up getting to a bowl bid. So keep your eyes on Rolovich. He may get it done. I like Max Borgie. I think he's one of the more underrated running backs in the country. Because of the offense he played in, he probably doesn't get the pub. He didn't have the 1,000-yard rushing season. But you add in the receptions, the touchdowns, he really had a productive back for a running back. And then they've got some talent on the defense. But I think the first year head coach is probably going to hold them back a little bit this season because of the lack of spring.
Talking Pac-12 with Phil Steele. The new publication is out. To the Huskies, after the season, Coach Chris Peterson suddenly walked away. They stayed within. Jimmy Lake gets the gig, has a terrific reputation. Jacob Eason is gone now with the Colts, so a new quarterback, a new coordinator. Joe Tryon heads the defense. Interesting season. How are things looking at UW?
Well, you remember last year they only had two returning starters on defense, so you had to figure they were going to struggle a little. Oh, 19.4 points per game they allowed. That's Jimmy Lake for you. I mean, remember a couple of years ago they had the 3 second-round draft picks gone in the secondary, and they come back and they still rank in the top 5 of the pass defense. So, and going over the defense with him, he has no questions about this defense. It's going to be clearly one of the top defenses in the Pac-12. Now, offensively, the question would come on the offensive line, but both of us felt pretty good about the offensive line after we went over it. They got size everywhere. I mean, their third stringers are 300-plus pounds, so good size on the offensive line. Richard Newton, Sean McGrew at running back, and I think a Jacob Sermon or a Dylan Morris or a Kevin Thompson can step in there at the quarterback spot and do well. Now, last year they had a schedule tailor-made to win the North. They got all the tough teams at home. This year they do have to travel to Oregon, travel to Utah, travel to USC, so a little bit of a tougher schedule this year with an inexperienced offense. But I think Jimmy Lake will have him contending in the North. Of the teams in the North, I think Washington and Stanford are Oregon's biggest threats.
Let's hit the Bay Area, and it's hard to believe it's been 13 years since Jim Harbaugh took over a one-win Stanford program, and by the time he handed the reins to David Shaw, I mean, they were a threat. Shaw had nothing but winning seasons, Rose Bowls, Fiesta Bowls. Then last year, the offense really struggled. They didn't run the ball well. They had a losing season. Phil, how well suited do you think the Cardinal are to bounce back?
I think they will bounce back. In fact, Coach Shaw is thinking they're going to contend clearly not only for the North title but the overall title, and it starts with quarterback play. Davis Mills really came on last year. He had to replace Costello and had a good season. And Davis Mills has got what you want. He's 6'4", 212. He's got first-round talent. He's got great accuracy. Get thrown into tight windows. So I think he's a good piece to build on. I'd like to see Stanford run the football more. I mean, let's face it, that's Stanford has not been Stanford of old because they haven't been able to run like they used to the previous years. The last 2 years, they've struggled in that department. They've got Austin Jones, E.J. Smith, Dorian Maddox, so they've got talent at running back. They do have one of the better offensive lines out there. I rated number 15 in the country, so watch out. A guy like Walker Little turning down the NFL, returning, that was a big plus. And defensively, there's talent there. I think they'll play more like the Stanford defense. And last year was an atypical year with only 4 wins. But if you look at my stock market indicator in the magazine every year, this is a typical stock market team. You know, a team that has won 9 or 10 games each year the previous years and then dipped down to 5-4. I think with 16 returning starters this year, they will contend in the Pac-12 North.
All right. Is Stanford, because they're near the Silicon Valley, is that, would that be a NASDAQ stock?
Yes. Good point.
Across the Bay, Justin Wilcox has improved the team each of his 3 years. The offense suffered with injuries last season, but I think they're real excited about Chase Garber's healthy defense among the top 4 in the conference, but they lose Evan Weaver, who's just remarkable. How do you see 2020 playing out for the Bears?
Well, I mean, now last year their secondary, I had actually rated their secondary right up there near the top. I mean, the previous year they were number 1 in pass defense. And last year with everybody back, they dropped down to number 47 in my pass defense, which usually surprised me. They've got depth in the secondary. They do lose a couple of talented players like Ashton Davis and Jalen Hawkins. But I think you'll see the secondary rebound this year. You talked about the tackling machine, Evan Weaver. But there's talent in the defense front 7, including the entire defensive line back. Garber's last year is a guy that was so valuable. I mean, when he started and finished a game, they were undefeated. They won 1 game without him starting and finishing a game. Having him back is huge. They're going to put the quarterbacks under center a little bit more with Musgrave as the offensive coordinator this year, which will be interesting to watch. But the offensive line, somewhat veteran group. The receiving core looks solid. I think Cal's a good team. I still have a middle of the pack in the North right behind Stanford and Washington, but they're definitely a good team this year, capable of making some noise.
Talking college football with Phil Steele, the magazine is out to get you ready for the season. Let's get to Oregon. Mario Cristobal has done incredible work. The defense last year under new coordinator Andy Avalos, spectacular. Got a new coordinator running the offense and Joe Moorhead. They've been crushing it in recruiting. And obviously, you got to replace a first-round pick and quarterback at Justin Herbert. How do you like their chances to repeat not only in the North, but maybe the conference?
Yeah, I think if you take a look at the Pac-12 overall and you rate the teams talent-wise, And we all know every year USC is going to be right up there talent-wise, and they are again this year. USC loaded with talent, and I think they may play up to that talent level this year. But as far as the Ducks go, they are loaded. And, I mean, places where you don't normally expect it. I mean, you don't – national point of view, if you're looking at the Oregon Ducks, you're not thinking, hey – top-notch defense. This team could have the best defense in the Pac-12 this year. When you look at the units, I rate their defensive line number 6 in the country, the linebackers number 13, and the best secondary in the country. So they are absolutely loaded on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, my two big questions, Steve, would have to be quarterback. A, how do you replace a Justin Herbert? And they do have Tyler Shough and Anthony Brown. Brown's a veteran guy from Boston College stepping in there, but Shough should be the man. And then how about the offensive line? 4 starters gone. They lose a lot of career starts, but a good piece to build on is Penei Sewell, who is, of course, the number one offensive lineman in the entire country. Got to like the skilled players of receiver. Got to like the backfield with Verdell, Dye, Bebe Lekio, Sean Dollar even at running back. So they're very deep there. I think the Ducks deserve to be favored in the North, and the one of the favorite, I think the Pac-12 this year probably comes down between Oregon and USC, the two most talented teams.
Yeah, it's been amazing in a couple of years just to see Coach Cristobal transform the personality of the team. Like you said, if you went around the country and said, what do you think of when you think of Oregon? I think some people are still stuck in the past about the flash and the dash and the tempo and everything, but they're a power running team, and defensively, it's been remarkable to see how quick he was able to transform them. You deal nationally, I would assume that you would be thinking along those lines.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is the biggest transition is, I think Oregon, you know, maybe 8 years ago was a team where you say, hey, they're all about gimmicks and speed and fast pace and not so much defense, a lot of high scoring games, but now it's physicality. And you can't play for Mario Cristobal if you're not physical. So, I mean, that entire defense made up of physical players, and all the players on defense, practically all the starting 11 are almost all conference potential. And that offensive line is his baby. And he was highly upset that they did not win the Joe Moore Award last year. I'm on the Joe Moore Award committee. I thought they were going to win it, but they didn't end up winning the Joe Moore Award, but probably deserved to. How he gets that offensive lineman rebuilt with 4 new offensive linemen in there, probably going to be the key to the offense this year.
A couple final thoughts for Phil Steele. You mentioned USC. I've been saying Clay Helton is a rather warm seat he sits on. They did win 8 games off a losing season. Got to be excited about Kedon Slovis at quarterback. I mean, incredible weapons in Vaughn and Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think the D needs to improve. You mentioned it in passing. How do you like the Trojan shot to make some noise in the South?
Yeah, and I think if you look at USC, let's go back to a couple of their losses last year. And first of all, they got hit hard by injuries defensively, wiped out it at times. They barely had anybody that started like 8 games last year, and they were hit by some injuries on offense as well. You go back to the quarterback position. Their first loss of the year was at BYU. Well, that was Slovis's first start, and it was on the road, which is always the toughest place for a young quarterback to start. And it was in overtime by 3 points. Their second loss was with their third string quarterback making his first road start at Washington. And USC actually turned it over in the red zone 3 times, or they would have been much closer in 28-14. Watching the game is pretty much an even game. They lost to Notre Dame by 3 points. So their first 3 losses last year could easily be explained. And when you go over the team this year, they got 9 starters back on defense. They do have a new defense coordinator. I think Todd Orlando steps into a pretty good situation. They're shifting things up a little bit, going to more of a 4-man front, but of course everybody plays multiple. And then you look at the secondary, you know, with Polamalu at free safety, Hufanga at strong safety, Griffin and Steele at cornerback. They're loaded there. Up front, Toffoli is probably one of the top defensive tackles in the game, along with Peely. And then you look at them offensively with Kedon Slovis, a QB, 30 touchdowns, just 9 interceptions. Throw into those receivers, heck, you and I, Steve, could probably have a pretty good ratio thrown to those guys. And then the offensive line's got three NFL-caliber guys in Voorhees, Jimmons, and Vera Tucker. It's a very loaded USC team, top to bottom. If they catch a break, which is something they haven't caught a lot of under Clay Helton, I think they've got a big-time chance. And I think they're Oregon's biggest threat in the Pac-12 this year.
All right. And lastly, we're now season seven with a college football playoff. We know things are going to look a little different, but if they're playing, you know there's going to be a playoff because that TV revenue drives the train. We know LSU loses Burrow. Clemson looks solid. Ohio State and Alabama just talent up and down. I know you also like Texas A&M, but for the playoff during this most unique season, where are you leaning?
Oh, I took a big-time chance here, Steve. I went with Ohio State winning the Big Ten, Clemson winning the ACC, Alabama winning the SEC, and how about Oklahoma winning the Big 12?
No, never would have seen that coming, right?
Yeah.
It's like I like Secretariat.
That's right. At what, 1-5 odds? Okay, I'm playing it. Yeah, but, you know, let's talk about that A&M team because, I mean, everybody knows all about those other four that I mentioned. And with A&M, you know, I'm on the phone with Coach Fisher last year, and two things really struck out to me last year. Number one was their strength of schedule. I'm like, wow, Coach, this is a hellacious schedule. And, you know, they took on three number one ranked teams last year. When they played Clemson, they were number one. When they played Alabama, they were number one. When they played LSU, they were number one. They also took on the number four and the eight teams in the country. So five top 10 teams last year. And the other thing that stood out to me, they only had like a couple of seniors on the entire roster. It was a young team. So naturally, they lost those five games against top 10 teams. And then you look at their roster this year, they got 17 returning starters, a veteran senior quarterback in Kalamon, my number 12 defense or offensive line, number 11 defensive line, linebackers, DBs, both in my top 10. They are a loaded team. They go three deep. Jimbo Fisher's been doing a phenomenal job recruiting, so they've got the experience, and their schedule drops to number 66 on my schedule this year. They might play one top 10 team all season. So easier schedule, much more experience. If you're looking for that dark horse team, a non-top 10 team that can make the playoff, I'm going Texas A&M.
Interesting. All right, we'll keep an eye on the Aggies. Folks, he's Phil Steele. It is the preseason publication for college football fans. I always look forward to this. Appreciate the time, the great information. Phil, wishing you and yours health, continued success, safety, and I'm also adding in sanity. I appreciate your time, and thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Steve. And, you know, just one quick note for your listeners out there, if I may, is that we're not going to be everywhere on the newsstands this year. We're probably only we only put out 50,000 magazines this year, so it's only at Barnes & Noble, only at Books A Million if you're out and about, or you can get it at philsteele.com. So I don't want everybody driving out to all their normal bookstores looking for the magazine because it won't be there. It's only at Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, or philsteele.com.
All right. Well, spread the word. Like I said, I always look forward to this. A lot of fun. Phil, be well, and have a great season, and we'll catch up down the road again.
Steve, I always love talking football with you, and here we are for like the 20th year doing it, so a lot of fun as always. Thanks for having me on today.
All right, have a good one. Always a bunch of great analysis with our buddy Phil Steele. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more. 95.3 The Score.